White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. There's been no rain for ages, so water-carrying squads are properly organized to go on the midday crocodile march to the pump down in the main road. Even small children go, for every drop of water helps, and the queue contains buckets, tins, kettles, bottles, saucepans, anything that holds water. The last few days, we've been rationed to a beer bottle of water each, and no bath water. But we still have to carry enough to fill all the Jap bathrooms twice a day. The effort of doing this is just about killing us in this heat and in our half-starved condition.
Sister Hannah. Whew, is it not hot, though?
It's like living in a permanent bushfire, Mrs. Yeah. Brookhouse. I'll have to rest for a minute. Can't get my breath properly.
Oh, it is too heavy, this work of carrying water when we are half-starved. Here, you sit for a moment on the roadside. You will feel better in a moment if you rest.
Linda! Linda! Move! You Australian! Where are you sitting? Go on! Come Australia, canapa dodok, majo.
It's no use shouting at me in that gibberish. I don't understand. Speak English. You can when you want to.
Sister Hannah, do not make him angry.
You Dutch pig, get on. Come on, banda, babe, macho.
Yeah, Tuan, say a piggy. Yes, I go.
Get up.
I knew you could speak English.
Why, you sit there. Get up.
I sat down to rest for a minute because I felt giddy.
Get up.
Oh, that's cleared my head no end.
What's going on over there?
That's Mavis Hannah sitting on the ground.
Pick up water.
Son, pick up thy musket.
So, next time, obey others. Now, move.
Oh,
no.
Swine.
It's
not
a
doll. Come on.
Spilling water. You carry extra water to the gardens and stand outside guardhouse untie. Say you go.
She didn't spill it. You knocked her down.
What says this Australian pig?
You heard. She couldn't help spilling the water when you knocked her down.
Shut up, Wynne.
You too will carry extra water. All of you. Then report to guardhouse. Get on with work. You Dutch monkey, hurry. Don't drop water. Kamu banda, manya. Chapat.
You all right, Mavis? Yes, I think so.
Here, let me help you up.
Come on. Girls. Well, I was giddy before. Spinning like a top now.
Well, hang on to us. You better not sit down again.
Oh, well, bang goes sixpence. I was going to do some sewing this afternoon, but now we can all have a nice rest standing in the sun. Mm. I'm all right now. Go back and fill my bucket again.
What were you going to sew?
Well, I had an idea to make some money.
Thought I'd borrow Mrs. Van Loon's sewing machine and make over clothes for the Dutch. Charge him so much a garment. Well, it'll have to wait now.
Oh, never mind, Mavis. I'll give you a hand when we get a chance. Sister Polly gave us an old worn-out habit. I think I could make some shorts out of it.
Well, we better get on with it. There'll be more trouble.
Sister Jeff! Oh, Sister Jeff.
Yes, Mrs. Brookhouse.
Are you still cutting the hair, Sister Jeff?
Yes, whenever I have a customer.
Well, could you cut mine hairs for me now? You have time? I have brought my scissors. Look.
Yes, Mrs. Brookhouse. You sit on this box.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now, Trot does hair cuts, too. We're partners, but she's on kitchen duty today. I think she's a better barber than I am.
Oh, no, no. I have seen some very smart haircuts you have done.
Thank you. Well, I make it fairly short, Mrs. Brookhouse.
Oh, as you think, Sister Jeff, I leave it to you. What does Sister Ioli do when you cannot help her work for the Dutch family?
Oh, she manages somehow. It takes her from 6 to 8:30 in the morning to just get the washing out in the sun. And then she takes the 4 small children for a walk around the camp and tries to make it interesting for them. Then later, she brings in the dry clothes. Oh, steady. And that is all for 2.5 guilders a week.
Ah, tis not enough. But tell me, Sister Jeff, how goes your bread making? Your Australian bakery is limited.
Well, we carry on when we can. There aren't always the ingredients, so it's just a bit spasmodic. Turn your head a little.
Oh, sorry?
That's it.
I have also seen some of your sisters pounding gaplek and making milk from soya beans. Mm-hmm. Do they get paid for this?
Oh, certainly. And some of them make a bean cake, too. It's made from soya beans growing a grey beard. It's really very good if you fry it. And it's full of vitamins.
I must admire you, Sister Jeff. Every one of you. Oh, you have less than any of us in this camp yet. You are not defeated. Oh, it is wonderful. You find so much to laugh at. Your songs. Oh, you can do so many things.
The money shortage certainly has brought to light some amazing talents. Apart from the girls who work for the Dutch, cleaning out bed spaces and carrying water at so much a bucket, Dell has turned into the champion woodchopper and swings the old axe whenever she has free time from her chores. She wears out a pair of shorts every few weeks, and where she gets the strength and energy from, no one knows. Woody makes the most fascinating rag dolls, which are most popular with the children, and we all make mahjong sets, which bring very good money. The other day, I was sitting trying to patch the patches on my shorts.
Do you think if I could sew that bit of stuff on the seat of my shorts, it'd hold, Jeff?
I can't find enough material left on mine to sew on. Let's have a look, Mavis. Oh. No. I think that'd split as soon as you sat down in them.
Oh, Jeff, what'll I do?
Is that all you've got?
Yes. I scrounged Blimey. This from a renovation I did for a Dutch woman.
Jeff! Jeff!
Well, I don't think it'll hold.
Yes? Oh, there you are. Oh, it's not a bad spot out here. It's quite cool.
Hello, Wynne.
Hello.
Oh, what's the matter, Wynne? Why are you holding your hands behind your back?
Oh, I've got a present for you. Which hand will you have?
For me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, how exciting. I'll have the right one.
Oh, that leaves you with the left one, Mavis.
Me?
Uh-huh.
A present for me, too. Oh, Wynne, how lovely.
Quick, Wynne, I can't stand the suspense.
Well, there's yours, Jeff, and yours, Mavis.
What a...
Wynne.
Oh. Shorts! New shorts! Well, how on earth did you get these?
Oh, I made 7 pairs out of that nun's habit the sisters gave us.
Aren't they wonderful?
Oh, they're beautiful.
Oh, Wynne, you've saved my life. I was just this minute asking Jeff what I could do with these to save their lives. Oh. You're a brick, Winnie Mae.
Wynne, I can't thank you enough. I was trying to patch the patches on these old ones of mine, but now I won't bother.
Oh, don't get too flash. You'd better keep the old ones as emergency shorts.
Who else did you give them to, Wynne?
Dell. She needs all she can get.
Hairs wear out so quickly chopping wood. And, did you by any chance keep a pair for yourself?
Oh, mine are all right.
They'll do until next time. You know, you are without a doubt the most generous person, Winter.
Oh, nonsense, Jeff. Who else? Jess Doyle got a pair, and Ray, Pat Blake and Chris Oxley. There's a sleeve over, Jeff, if you'd like to have it. It'll make a sun top for you, I think.
Well, if no one else's need is greater than mine, I'll grab it.
Oh, these are beautifully made, these shorts, Wynne.
I must go and put them on at once. Hey, do you want the needle, Mavis?
Not now, Jeff. I'm going to get arrayed in my finery, too.
And before you go, Mavis, there's something I want to talk to you about.
Yes, what, Wynne?
It's about Ray. She looks terribly sick and weak, and she's fainted several times lately. When she hurries or on water carrying.
Oh, I know. She's not strong, poor dear.
I think we should stop her from doing any heavy work at all. We can all cover up for her. Otherwise, I'm afraid of what might happen.
Well, we could get Sister James to speak to her, or Dr. McDowell. Just forbid her to do the heavy things.
I thought I'd better speak to everyone first. It'd mean we have to take over her duties. But among so many of us, it'll be all right.
Well, it's all right by me, Wynne.
And me.
Well, I'll speak to the others. Then we can gang up on Ray, because she won't want to take it easy.
No, she'll probably take a very poor view of it.
Sister, yes, I know. Sister Jeff!
Oh.
Sister Ray!
Here comes Mrs. Brookhouse. Oh. Seems to be in a great state over something.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Brookhouse. Oh. Where's the fire?
Oh, what fire, Sister Wynne? I did not know of us.
Well, you look as if you're hurrying to one. You're all steamed up.
Oh, so this joke. Oh, there, I have great joke to tell all
what?
You. Huh? Oh, there, I think he was looking and looking and he couldn't find it.
Who couldn't find what, Mrs. Brookhouse?
Well, I must begin at the beginning, Sister Mavis. You know Nelly?
The go-between with the black market.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, last night she was going out of camp, she usually does, ooh, dressed in black. And just as she was to slip past the guard, the clock she was carrying out to Bath, he started its alarm ringing at the top of this
tower.
Yeah, and would not stop. And the guard, he started to run round. He's looking for this noise. I cannot find anywhere.
Oh, how priceless. But did he find Nelly?
No, while he's running around like puppy dog chasing tail. Nelly, she slipped through gate. She said she could hardly run for laughing.
Oh,
she ran on her way and she was back before the guard was in the guardhouse again. And he's still looking.
Oh, but she was lucky, though. It would have been awful if he caught her.
The buying and selling and bartering that goes on here is terrific. The Japs have threatened jail and death if we continue with the black marketing, but it goes on just the same. What else can we do? We have to get a little extra food somehow to keep alive. Today, it was ferociously hot carrying water. Each trip seemed to get longer, the buckets heavier, the stones sharper to walk on, and the pump harder to operate. On our way back to fill our buckets for the last time for the day, Shorty and I saw a strange sight.
Last trip. I feel as if I'm headed for the last roundup.
You know, I don't see how these Indian johnnies can walk on red-hot stones for fun.
I hate it. Well, I'll tell you this, Jeff. On the way back, there's going to be a lot of tripping. And I'll be carrying my bucket on my shoulder. Every time I trip, I better spill a dollop of water. I've got to cool off somehow.
Hey, Shorty, who's that coming towards us?
Eh? Oh, it's Belle Smith, isn't it? What's she doing, for Pete's sake?
She's dragging something along. Looks heavy, by the way. She's struggling with it.
Yeah.
Hey, Val! Val, what's that you've got?
Oh, well, I thought it was a piece of an armchair when I found it down the road. Oh, it feels more like Jessie the elephant now.
Oh, you would raise your
tongue. Oh, that must have a spell.
What in the world do you want with that thing?
It'll come in very handy, Shorty.
What for? You can't sit on it. It's got no cover or anything we could use as patches. It's It's just a few boards and a lot of nails.
That's what's useful. The nails.
And what do you think of building? Weekender at the seaside?
No. She's going to make a wardrobe to keep all her clothes in.
Or a kitchen dresser to put the cups and saucers in.
Oh, saucers. I've almost forgotten what they look like.
Round things, weren't they? With a dip in them.
Yeah, that's right. Used for blowing into when the tea's too hot.
But seriously, Val, what good's that thing? Crazy to strain your G-string lugging it back to the camp.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'll make a lot of money out of this.
I can't see how.
There are a lot of nails in it. I'll pull them out, then you can have the wood for the stove, and I will go into business.
Yeah, but what as?
A shoe mender. Oh, you know how the Dutch make trompers out of a hunk of wood and a strip of rubber tubing or tire nailed on to make a strap?
Yes, some of our lasses have them.
Well, they're always coming to pieces. I'll mend them with my nails. Two nails to a trumper at 10 cents a nail.
Well, what do you know?
I take it all back. You're not crazy, Val. It's a wonderful idea.
Well, look, why don't you wait till we get this last lot of water and we'll come back and give you a hand.
I'll press on. And if you have the strength, I'd be most grateful if you could help.
Right.
Come on, Jeff. Let's hurry.
Val got all the nails out of the old bit of chair, put them into a tin, and went into business. She did a flourishing trade this afternoon and looked most professional with her mouth full of tacks as she worked on the trompers. Since we stopped Ray from doing any hard yakka, which has annoyed her no end, she's able to keep herself in petty cash by sewing the prettiest little handkerchiefs out of bits and pieces, which are quickly snapped up by the people here who have plenty of money. She looks much better now and hasn't fainted once. The work was just too much for her, and she'd be ill for days at a time. A day or so ago, I found Woody sitting on her bed space, looking at a coat and murmuring to herself.
Pockets are all right. Buttons. Seam needs mending.
What are you sitting there mumbling away to yourself about, Woody?
I was just having a look at my old kerchief. I'm going to sell it.
Oh, why? You'll need it when the rains come.
Oh, it's too heavy for me to wear now, Jeff. I can hardly stand up in it. Even as a blanket, I can't cope with the weight of it.
Oh, Woody. Well, could you fold it and lie on it as a mattress?
It's not very comfortable. I've tried it. Anyway, I need some money to buy fruit, or there won't be any me to lie down.
Well, you should get a good price for it. Will you sell it in the camp, or give it to Nellie to take out?
Neither. There's a Jap officer who's had his eye on it. I'll sell it to him.
Really? Which one?
Oh, I don't know his name. You don't see him often.
Well, bang the price onto it.
Don't worry, Jeff. I will. He doesn't speak any English, so I shall have some fun making him understand my sales talk.
You know enough Malay, don't you?
Oh, blow him. He can find out what I'm talking about in English and like it. I have to mend this seam, though. And that's all that's the matter with it.
Val! Hi, Val.
Well? What do you want, Jeff?
Well, stop mending trompers for a minute and come and listen to something.
Hey, you.
Oh, what is it?
For goodness sake, take those nails out of your mouth when you talk. You'll swallow one.
Oh, I mustn't do that. They're worth 10 cents each.
Now, what do you want me to hear?
Oh, come outside. Woody's selling her greatcoat to a chap. He doesn't speak English, and she's not attempting to speak to him in Malay.
Oh, come on.
Oh, they ought to get along like a house on fire.
I've told you the price. It's 400 straight dollars.
Well, he's offered her $100 and wants the coat now.
$400?
Good on you, Woody.
What? She's robbing him, he says, and it'll be bad for the Australians.
I haven't all day to waste listening to you jabber. Do you want the coat or not now? $400.
$250. She's putting it up.
$300. $500.
What's that?
$350, I think.
Oh. No, I won't sell it at all.
Nante dollo. Ampatato.
$400.
No! Oh. I'll keep the coat and give me the money.
Nante. Saya dapat one.
Quiet.
Goody, that was wonderful. Did you know what he was saying?
I couldn't care less, Jeff. All I wanted to hear was, I'm Patrutus. 400, I got it.
Well, it's an amazing thing how people can understand each other in different languages when they're talking about money.
Where's he gone now?
To get the money. Now, you count it, Woody, before you give your coat to him.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't trust one of these little monkeys as far as I could kick him.
Don't you worry, Belle. I'll watch it.
That was a cunning bit when you put the price up instead of down. I cared for that.
Well, after that little exhibition, I think you should go in for high finance or politics when you get home, Woody.
The selling and bartering became a fine art. Of course, we didn't have much to sell, but the Dutch got anything from 100 to 250 straits dollars for a watch, and the Japs snapped up anything gold. Now this put poor old Chris Oxley into a quandary.
Oh, I don't know what to do, Val. I need some money, and I'm stony broke, but I don't know.
You're the only one who can decide, Chris. You know how much you need them.
I suppose I could do without them. But if I sell them and then we're paid or get rescued or something, it'd be awful.
What'd be awful, Chris?
Oh, hello, Jeff.
Hello.
If I sold them and they found out, I needn't have.
I'm sure it'd be most distressing. What are we talking about?
My teeth.
What? She's trying to make up her mind whether to sell them or not.
I didn't know you had false teeth, Chris.
I haven't. Only four back ones on a bridge. A gold bridge.
Oh, I see.
What do you think, Jeff? Would it be worth it?
Well, there's no point in selling your tats for something to eat and then not to be able to eat it, is there? On the other hand, it's all very well to have teeth to ganache, but nothing to eat.
Oh, that's it. I just can't make up my mind. Oh, well, I'll just have to think up something else to tide me over until I make up my mind.
Poor Chris. We called her bridge work the Golden Gate, but she could never make up her mind what to do about them. In the meantime, however, she hit on the idea of teaching English to a Dutch woman.
Now, Mrs. Harker, let's start your lesson.
Yeah, please.
Now, where were we? Oh, yes, the days of the week.
Yeah.
Now, Monday.
Monday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Oh, not die. That's to be dead. Day.
Yeah, die.
Oh, well. Thursday.
Thursday.
Friday. Oh, Jeff, I think I'll turn in. I'm so tired.
Oh, I'm always tired. I wish it had rained. I want a shower.
Are you sleeping inside or outside tonight, Jeff?
Oh, inside, I think. Mosquitoes are a bit ferocious lately.
Mm. Oh, well, I've had it.
Why, what's the matter, Chris?
I've been trying to teach Mrs. Harker to speak English.
Oh, huh? Can't you?
No, she gets everything mixed up. Oh, dear, she doesn't seem to be able to tell the difference between, well, sounds or something. Oh, well, I can't make any money by that little brainwave.
Hard luck, Chris. Now, what else can we think of you, for you to do?
Hmm. Oh, it looks like I'll have to part with the Golden Gate after all.
Hello, girl.
Oh, hello, Val.
I've been over talking to Dutch Joss.
And Mrs. Harker came in a great state.
What was the matter with her?
Someone had been trying to teach her English, so Joss told me.
Well, that's me.
Oh. What did you do? Teach her to swear?
No, I did not. Oh, dear, well, at the end I got a bit exasperated. But I didn't mean her to learn that.
Well, words going around the Dutch lines, if you want to have English lessons, don't take them from an Australian.
Well, I like that.
Poor old Chris. Oh, well, never mind. Perhaps you can sell one of your paintings.
Oh, good night, everyone. I'm going to bed.
I'm going too.
Good night, Woody.
Good night, Woody.
I lay under Rule Britannia, wondering where I could scrounge a pencil. For a long time now, my diary's been written in ink,
Tweedy found a fountain pen and would always lend it to me, and I got ink from various sources around the camp. But Tweedy has been forced to sell the pen to buy food for herself. She's had dysentery for a long while and is down to about 7 stone now. Here, in this place, even a simple thing like a pencil becomes a major consideration. I wonder, will we become used to having things again? I wonder how much longer we can last.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banvard for Australasian Radio Productions.